As a listener of this podcast, you know the devastating impact of narcissistic abuse, how it shatters your confidence, leaving you struggling in future relationships. But it doesn't need to be that way. Join me and experts Lisa Sunny and Rosanna Fay at the Strong and Unstoppable Retreat this October in beautiful Orlando, Florida. During this transformative four-day experience, you'll uncover the unconscious psychological blocks holding your recovery back. Through equine therapy, targeted workshops, and practical skill development, you'll uncover and overcome unconscious obstacles and reconnect with your inner strength. This retreat is specifically designed for women who are committed to their healing and ready to break free from the lingering effects of narcissistic abuse. Space is limited and spots are filling up, so don't miss this opportunity to invest in yourself and your future. Secure your spot by visiting wellnessrecoveryretreats.com. That's wellnessrecoveryretreats. Take your first step towards becoming strong and unstoppable today. It can be difficult to leave a narcissistically abusive relationship, not just because of the intermittent reinforcement or because of the confusion the narcissist creates, but also because of our own issues of trust with ourselves. Today, I'm joined by Rosanna Fay, who is a certified life and relationship coach, who also is a narcissistic abuse survivor. And her and I talk about what happens within ourselves that creates doubt and struggle with trust that keeps us trapped in these toxic relationships. This is Breaking Free from Narcissistic Abuse, and I'm your host, Dr. Carrie Kerr-McAvoy, a mental health specialist with over 20 years of counseling experience. Each week, we're going to take a deep dive into the dynamics of narcissistic abuse. As a listener-supported podcast, thank you for considering becoming a subscriber for less than the cost of a cup of coffee. Ro, thank you so much for joining me today. We're going to be talking about what happens in narcissistic relationships, the confusion that victims often feel, which I know I struggle with a lot. I struggle with this with every relationship, not with friendships so much, but anything that I know is like permanent. When I feel there's a commitment, I then get into this mode of, is it good? Is it not good? Is it me? Is it them? And I really battle knowing whether or not I'm in a healthy relationship and become self-doubting, I guess is the best word for it. When there's not good things, it just gets way worse. I then start measuring everything.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for bringing this topic up, because I think that after being in one bad relationship, one abusive relationship, one relationship where things were confusing, you only need the one to question every single one. Every single one, even if it feels so good, you'll find one thing that might trigger from the past or something that might remind you of a time where you felt confused. And then you question yourself, because we didn't question ourselves in that bad one. So we have to question ourselves almost every single time now to prepare ourselves and maybe prevent it. I think this is something that anyone might struggle with. I know for a fact I do. And you're right, in every relationship, it's something that we have to, it's almost like we're trying to rewrite the past. Like, I don't want to have to face this again. And I was before, and I was naive, and I didn't think it was as bad as it was. And maybe this one is as bad as it is, even if it feels great.
You know, it's interesting for me. It's not something that came out of the abusive relationship. It actually is a legacy due to my faith, because I viewed relationships, marriages particularly, as a permanent condition. So when you like load up something, is like you're in this for forever. And if you don't, then that's a violation, not only to yourself and the violation to the relationship, as the violation to God. Then you don't want to go into it making a mistake. And so I remember agonizing before my first marriage. Was he the right person? How do I know? Are these things that I can tolerate? Because I didn't want to make a mistake. But then when, you know, of course, I made it through that relationship, and I thought, because he passed away, I thought, okay, I have a track record of a successful marriage. I know what that looks like, that then I should be able to do this relatively well the next time. I didn't just think myself vulnerable to getting a divorce or getting into a bad relationship. I know that's really arrogant to say that, but then when I got into that relationship, I started to wonder how much is too bad. What should I be putting up with or not? Because everybody, you know, go back to my faith history, the caveat. Now, whether or not this is right or wrong, I'm sure people who have the Christian faith could debate whether or not this is accurate. But the general belief is you have to have had a relationship where there is adultery before you're allowed to get out. Now, that I found that out right in the beginning. I already had grounds to leave.
Interestingly enough, for me, though, it didn't give me grounds to leave personally because I really wanted to save the relationship. So then I began to be in this battle with myself about how much is too much, what's healthiness, what's okay to leave around. I just started to like question everything because somehow in my head, I had this perspective that you don't leave unless it's really bad. That in other words, someone disrespecting me or minimizing me or just me not being comfortable or not liking what's happening in the relationship wasn't enough reason to leave. So then I just felt like, well, then what is? I mean, I already threw out the biggest reason that my faith gave me. And now I find even when I date somebody, I do the same thing. I like, I don't know what's a good reason. You know, is this normal to feel this way? I just struggle. It's horrible. It's like this agonizing thing I do now all the time.
It's the battle with ourself, right? Mm. It's trying to play this or sell this story. And I think in my marriage, and I'll just draw back to my marriage, like me being a person that I create situations. It's like if my situation isn't good, then I just created a better one or I make it better somehow, right? Being in sales for the better part of my life, I will sell a story to anyone that needs it. So it's like, this is the best way to do this. This is why this is great. These are the benefits. And so I think in my marriage, I was selling myself the story of this is why the marriage is so good. This, like, we connect in this way. We have these beautiful children. And I wasn't only selling it to myself. I was selling it to the people around me. So the more I sold this story to my friends and family, the more I sold this story to my support team, my community, the more I believed it to be, this is a good marriage. Even if there's yelling and screaming, even if there's devaluation, even if he's insulting me, even if I'm crying every night, even if I'm at this place where I don't feel like myself, I've already sold the story to myself that it's good. And so what you said about drawing back to, is it really that bad? Like if it's not the faith, then what makes it so bad? You know, I've almost brainwashed myself. I did this in the marriage where I brainwashed myself into thinking, okay, it's not bad because I've told myself it's not bad. I've created this situation for me and I'm living it and I'm choosing to be here every day. That in and of itself is a constant battle. It's like I'm choosing to be here and I'm creating this story. So if it's so bad, then why am I not telling myself that it's bad? Why am I telling myself it's so good? Why am I telling myself that we have this beautiful marriage when there's a part of me that's screaming inside saying, no, it's not good, but I'm ignoring her.
Do you know why you do that? Because I do the same and I'm struggling to understand what is the dynamic within me that says that, because I know the fear. Here's the other piece of the fears. If I give into this piece of myself, let's go back to my first marriage, which for the most part was a decent marriage. There was parts of it that was really hard. And I'm sure there are people who would have been in it who would have said, no, it wasn't enough. I'm going to leave because he was selfish. And it was very traditional and it was exhausting for that reason. And I know there are people who would say, certainly women who would say, I'm not signing up for a traditional relationship where a guy gets to come home from the end of the day and then be done so that I get a second shift because I'm carrying the load too. I'm sure there are many women who would like, eh, I'm out of here. But there is also really strong parts. You can already hear the tug of war inside of me. So I couldn't find enough reason for me to say, this is wearing me out. I feel like a part of me is starting to like, I'm no longer in love with him anymore. I love him, but I'm not in love with him anymore. But I didn't feel like there was a reason because this is the opposite side of me. If I give myself, here's the judgment, silly reasons to say this relationship isn't working, then who does that make me to be? Am I a shallow person who the minute something's not convenient, I'm out of here? Because I believe in the idea that relationships require sacrifice. Now, what I mean, because we can say, okay, a narcissistically abusive relationship, the ultimate sacrifice is you don't get to exist. They want to consume you. That's ridiculous. Nobody gets to consume another person. But when you look at a relationship with a child, especially with an infant, there's a lot of self-sacrificing that's going on that needs to happen for the benefit of the child. And there's no abuse going on. And then over time, we have to give less and less of ourselves until finally they're an adult. And then it's more of a mutual relationship. To me, that's a healthy example of sacrifice. And the narcissistically abusive relationship is an example of a tremendously unhealthy sacrifice. But I can't find the line. between mm-hmm. healthy and unhealthy.
In this example, it's the age, the maturity yeah. level.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about two peer-to-peer people in a relationship, both at a maturity level we think is the same, then it becomes different. So when you say silly reasons, you know, I mean, at what point in your life did you learn that that's a silly reason? Like, you know, I know for sure for me, it's like, I wouldn't call it a silly reason, but yeah, it's not a viable reason to break up a marriage. These are words that ring in my head with my ex saying, break up a marriage, like break up a beautiful home, have the kids have to go to different houses back and forth for years to come. And it being like such a, like, this is going to ruin both of our families, all the people involved, all the investment we put in, 14 years of what? Not for anything. And so it wasn't a viable reason. It wasn't enough of a reason for me to say, yeah, I want to walk away. I mean, it took me 2.5 years to really actually walk away. And even then it was probably one of the most difficult things I've ever done. But there was a part of me that was like, maybe this is too silly. He yells sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, like, where did we learn that this is a reason that is not important enough for us to take our power back and step out into our own? Why? What makes it so silly?
I don't know. Exactly. That you've nailed it. That's the issue. And I don't really have a good... This is one which I'm still healing, honestly. I don't have a lot of really great answers around it because I know I'm not happy with where it is. Let's take this latest dating experience that I had. I knew pretty much quickly this person wasn't bringing as much of a friendship to the table as I was hoping for, that I was going to probably feel a little lonely, that this person didn't know how to go into as much emotional depth as I wanted. And then there's a part of me like, well, but is that reasonable to expect in a relationship? Do you think it really exists out there? I know you are happy on your own. So it's not like a question of, can you be on your own? Yeah, I can be on my own. I'm not lonely being on my own, but I'd like to be in a relationship. So it becomes this dance I do with myself around what's enough, what's satisfying. Now, granted, I wasn't in a committed relationship, so it was easier for me to say, well, there's no vow made. I've not made any promises to this person. But still, I just don't like to be a person who's flighty. Once I start to grow into something, I like to stick it out and see where it goes. I'm a very determined person. Mm-hmm. So it becomes this battle. Here's where it goes. It becomes even more dangerous. It becomes, I don't trust myself. I don't trust my experience and I had feelings. I could hear my gut saying, this is really not the best match. You probably could do better. Will you do better? Does it really matter if you don't? But this match probably isn't the best match. But I don't trust it. And I hate that I don't. Oof, I hate it.
Oh, yeah. It's trusting ourselves after all of this that makes it. It's like we left this battlefield of the battle we have of knowing if this was abusive or not. Was this even abusive? Was the relationship really that bad? And then you walk away from it knowing, yes, it was bad. It was as bad as we thought. Like, good riddance. Thank goodness we left. We're so happy and we're so in us, like, we're still healing. We are looking back and we're learning our lessons, trying to. And then moving forward, we're asking ourselves those same questions. We're still in the same battlefield. Like, we've never left. Like, we're still asking ourselves, is this right? Is this wrong? Is it really that bad? Could it be that good? Do I deserve this?
Yes.
And I think maybe there's a part of us, and I'm speaking for myself, is what I chose for 14 years, that's what I chose. And is that what I'm worth? Like, where was my worthiness in all of that, in everything I had to go through? And now going forward, really trusting yourself is knowing that, no, you weren't worth that, but forgiving yourself for being part of that for so long. And also knowing that it might mess up too, you know?
Like, yeah.
How do we let go of that control? Because me being OCD, having like this form of control in my life, and like some of the only things I was able to even control in my marriage was cleaning the house, organizing toys, organizing clothes, the way things were properly, you know, the symmetry between all the clothes with my hangers, like all the little things I could control because my life was so out of control, that now that I'm out of it, I can control things, but situations, I'm like, if I can't touch it, I can't do anything about it. I might as well not even step in. You know?
Yeah, I think the other thing weaves in is patience with myself and allowing myself to make mistakes that because part of the trust is, okay, you trust what you're hearing from yourself. You trust your feelings and you're putting weight onto that, but you also then give yourself at the same time permission to be wrong. And sometimes, yes, we always say to people, take time. Time will help you understand something. That's just a hard place. Time to me feels like limbo. I'm a person who really likes to know, is it on or is it off? Is it up? Is it down? Am I sticking it out or am I leaving? I hate like, I don't know. I'm here today, but I don't know. But maybe I won't be here tomorrow, but at least I'm here today and we'll just see where tomorrow takes us. I don't like that place. But part, I hate it. But so that's hard. But the other piece is, and if I get it wrong today, I'm still okay. The me that I am is still a good person. I'm not stupid. I don't need to feel shame. I don't need to feel guilt. But that's really hard, especially with my legacy issues, which I love that term. I've just recently heard that from Dr. Romney talking about people who have histories of abuse come into these relationships with past abuse, which is me. That's a legacy issue. With the legacy issue of having to be always on and correct and do the right thing, I then load up all these decisions as like monumental. They're paramount. I have to get it right. So every time, like, do I stay? I have to be right that I'm staying, which makes it so like impossibly heavy, that decision, which now I'm like, no, it's okay. You make mistakes. Maybe today you're staying. And maybe if you, that you are in 5 years from now, would say, you could have probably should have left. It would have probably been a better decision, but it's okay. It's okay that I didn't make that decision that way today.
That is part of forgiving yourself too, for making, for not making the decision sooner or for anything really, for anything that created this legacy trauma, like anything that we've had to deal with, we're going back and we're learning. We're trying to learn the lessons from our past is what we're doing. But when we're carrying our past into our future, then we're not seeing a future. Like I deleted all of my dating apps going into 2024. That whole like, I don't know if this is a relationship. I saw this video on social media. Somebody was going up to couples on the street who were holding hands and saying, are you two a couple? And, you know, some of the reactions would be, you know, and like in this day and age, this like modern dating with situationships and people not knowing. And there was a Twitter post where it's like, ask your man, why are we not in a relationship? Ask the person you're sleeping with, why are we not in a relationship, to see what the answers are. And it's like back in the day, like it was 20 years ago that I met my ex-husband, 20 years ago, and we were together for 14 years. How many dating apps were there then? None. How many ways were there to meet people? Hardly any, unless you were working with them or maybe you went to school with them or you run the same kind of community. But now we're just meeting people so quickly, so fast. We have to make fast decisions. We have to know if this person's right for us pretty much on the second or third date, or even within the first few days of conversing back and forth. And that's just through text message. You don't know anything about their family, their values. You don't know anything about their beliefs, who they are as a person, how they show up for you, how they love, what their attachment styles are. Like we don't know anything about these people. And no wonder we don't trust ourselves, because we're literally meeting strangers.
Yes.
So that would be hard. I mean, for you, Carrie, to have this place where you need to know right away what's going on, and you don't want to be in this wishy-washy place. But the reality of dating today is it's all wishy-washy.
There's something else that you said that really also clicked when you said it, is that I think, I want to throw this out there and see what you think. I've noticed, though, that I think other victims or survivors of narcissistic abuse tend to give more credence on other people's wellness, healthiness, support, needs. Mm-hmm. We tend to be more compassionate to other people than we are to ourselves. I know that's certainly true for me. If I think about that decision, what's my decision today? Is this a good decision? Am I staying for the right reasons? What should I be doing? That I don't approach it from a standpoint of tremendous support and compassion. I'm kind of like approaching it almost like a parent. You need to know. You need to know right now. Like, is that room clean? You should know if that room's clean. Get that room clean. Instead of saying, you know, this is something you're going to have to sort of listen to. And maybe you don't know right now. And that's part of the process. And maybe in a second from now, you'll know more. But maybe in a month from now, you might know more. But I don't approach it compassionately. Instead, I approach it anxiously or rigidly.
Rigidly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're scolding yourself as the parent instead of parenting yourself with compassion.
Yes. Yes. You
know? It's exactly. Like, you should know this. You've done all of these things. You've had this trauma. You've been in an abusive relationship. You should know better. See the signs. Watch out, right? But then there's this part of us that we're treating ourselves the way we should really be treating potential people that we want to meet. And it's backwards. Instead of having compassion for ourselves and what we've been through and our own trauma and how we're healing and the lessons we're learning, and still, we're still babies in a sense when we come out of these, when we come out of a relationship that's abusive and you're stepping out into a new world where you have to step out into the world and trust yourself again, we're not stepping out, we're crawling out into the world. Mm-hmm. We're learning everything. Yeah. And instead of taking care of us like the baby that we are in this new world, we're taking care of the other people that we don't even know, the strangers. We're giving them compassion. We're saying, oh, you've been through trauma. Let me take care of you because I know how. But we forgo taking care of ourselves in exchange for taking care of a stranger, a literal stranger. And that's why we ask ourselves, is there anything really wrong? Maybe it's me. I'm the one that's wrong. Maybe it's me. I'm the one that needs more healing when we don't even know them.
Yes.
Like, yes. There's how many billion people on the planet? They don't need to be the right one for us.
Right. And we, I really do think it would be helpful if we took this weight off of relationships, particularly marriages, like it has to be forever. Please hear me. Those of you who have more of a faith-based relationship and see this from a spiritual angle, I'm not saying we can be shallow about relationships, that they here today and gone tomorrow. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that when we load it up, like I have to make this work and the other person isn't making it work. When we put the whole burden of us suffering because they're making us suffering and devaluing ourselves in that process, I think we really need to reevaluate, is this a good relationship? This is a tough topic because I don't think that things should be just, we jump in and jump out and jump in and jump out. But I do think we have to stop seeing ourselves as the whole weight of it sits on us. And if we don't make it work, then somehow that's solely our fault. I know that's what I did. And I take this so seriously that I take it probably more seriously than any of my partners have ever taken it. And that's been at a great cost to me because then I tolerate things that most people wouldn't or shouldn't tolerate. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, you care more than them.
Yeah, yeah. And you heard, you know? Yeah, you heard the saying too, is that, and the person who has the greatest investment has the least power.
Exactly.
So the minute that I do that, I've disempowered myself so that now I'm at that person's mercy because I've taken my own power away. And that's the other problem, is not just that these relationships have a power inequity, which of course they do, but we also disempower ourselves in them by taking away some of our choice in the middle of it.
Yeah. Why do we do that? I feel like a lot of the reason for me anyway, why I do some of that, because I have to check myself. I have to remind myself, I can't care more than they care. You know, there were some situations this year where I cared so much more than them. And it's comfortable for me to care more than them. I feel like I'm used to somebody else caring less than me. And if I'm putting that effort in, maybe I'll just care enough for them to care, or I'll take care of them so well and save them in such a way that they'll be like, oh, I'm so grateful, Ro, you came to save me and now I have everything to give you. But it doesn't really work that way. And a part of me knows that it's never going to work that way. Part of me knows that I'm spilling and sharing and emptying myself for another person without the outcome that I'm looking for. And I know that the outcome isn't there, but I still look for it.
I have some ideas about that. I want to save that to talk about that for our paid subscribers, because I think that toxic relationships ask us to empty ourselves. And I've just heard something really fantastic about empathy, how it relates to the survivor's empathy. Mm-hmm. So we're going to follow that up in a separate conversation and tape that specifically for those who become a paid subscriber. But to wrap up today, what would be some pieces of advice that you think would be really helpful for listeners who are struggling with themselves on determining if this is a healthy relationship or not?
Yeah, I think forgiveness is the first step. It took me a long time to really forgive myself for staying in a relationship for so long and not seeing it. And if you were to look at yourself, if you have a daughter or a younger version of yourself and you think back to who that person was and why they didn't see what they saw, what kind of advice would you give them and how would you make them feel amplified? How would you affirm them? Because we didn't see it. And if you're blind to something and you don't see it, then we can't, the blame that we have for ourselves, we need to give ourselves a little more kindness and love and compassion. So I think forgiveness that you were in that situation will help you move forward going into future situations, wondering if it was that bad, because reality was that it was that bad and you did leave for a reason. So you have to give yourself grace for that.
So what does forgiveness look like for you? Because I know people define it very differently depending on the person. So for you, what do you do to forgive yourself?
For me, acknowledgement, basically looking at the situation and saying, this is what happened. I had no control over it. It wasn't my choice. And I did everything I could do to the best of my ability with what I had at the time, and love. You know, really giving yourself love, even just, I mean, I hug my inner child. Like sometimes I look at my daughter and I think that's a little mini version of me. I try to separate that because I know she's her own person, but I do visualize me in a sense and all the innocence that I used to carry and just give myself all that love and this, like, just hold myself together and say, it is okay. You did everything you could do with what you had at the time, and I love you. To me, that's forgiveness.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for joining us. I hope to see you back as a special guest periodically. That would be awesome, Ro. So thank you for being here today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap for this week's episode. Are you following me on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube? Find me at Carrie McAvoy, PhD. And whether you're in, consider leaving, or have left a narcissistic relationship, find community support at my Toxic Free Relationship Club. You can learn about this resource as well as others at CarrieMcAvoyPhD.com. And I'll see you back here next week.